You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Just the Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
Where there is unity, there's strength. And a lot of time we think about unity, we think about us coming together in agreement one with another, which is very important. It's very important. But one of the most important things is that we come into agreement and then come into unity with the Holy Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of us. And we have to understand that you and I, that we're in a spiritual warfare. There is a battle. And the enemy tries to get us to compromise or to relax in certain areas because sometimes we don't want to offend people. Sometimes we don't want to impose what we call our religion on somebody else. But this has never been about religion. That's where the distortion came in. It's always been about restoring a broken relationship with God our Father. And if we look at it that way, it's not about if you're Catholic, Methodist, Jehovah's Witness, I don't care if you're a non-believer. We were created in the image and in the likeness of God. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the question goes is, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? In other words, God has equipped you and I with the message of reconciliation. That word to be reconciled means to be made back in right standing and right condition with God our Father. See, when we're going to have communion at the end of this, and the communion, when we have communion, he says, often as you do this in remembrance of me. And one of the things I like to say about that is that when we say remembrance, it's not just putting him in remembrance of the deeds that he's done, but it's also us being reconnected to Christ. Because we know what dismemberment means. If you ever lost a joint or a leg or arm, you've seen somebody who has been dismembered. But a lot of times, we're like the leaf that's been plucked away from the bush. We look green, we look healthy, but we're not connected to the source. We have been disconnected. And so what we need to be is remembered unto Christ. And the way we do that is by remembering or putting ourselves back in remembrance of the things that he has said. He said, put me in remembrance of my word. It's the word of God that reconnects us back unto Christ. And when we look at what it means to be in unity, unity is a most common definition is the state of being undivided or a oneness. Jesus got in trouble when he told the Pharisees in St. John chapter 10, verse 30, he said, I and my Father are one. But when we declare ourselves to be the children of the Most High God, we get to understand that we stand in the unity of the Spirit. We stand into a place that where we come into a oneness with God. This is why the Bible said we have to have the mind of Christ. But it tells us to let this mind be in us. What does this mean? It's not just having a religious mindset where you can quote scripture. It's understanding the very character, the very nature of God. Having a discerning heart like him. You know, we got so many people out there today. You know, Robin was talking about earlier how many, so many people who say they don't believe, but they believe in something. But they say they don't believe in God. Or they might write a post, oh, there ain't no God. But yet and still, they'll check their horoscope every morning. Yet and still, they'll go to a palm reader. Yet and still, they're playing with Ouija boards. They're playing with things, oh God, that they're trying to get into some type of connected to the cosmos universe. You know, men come up with the strangest things instead of being connected to the source, which is the creator of all things, which is God our Father. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 18, I believe it is, and starting in verse 10, it talks about how God is not going to permit any necromancers or soothsayers or witches or those that cause their children to pass through the fire or those who are are discerners of time. And we got so many people like that today that have gotten involved with Wicca, gotten involved with palm reading, and gotten involved with trying to get involved with a spiritual entity or some type of spiritual insight, but they won't see Christ. And God said those that do such things are an abomination, unto him. Now, they've made that word abomination like a curse word. Because if you talk about homosexuality and it's described as an abomination in the Bible, now they want to hang you. They want to sue you and call it hate talk. No, we're coming into unity, in the unity with the Spirit. And see, whatever God agrees with, you and I, we agree with. Whatever God disagrees with, you and I, we disagree with. But we're always mindful of the fact that we don't war against flesh and blood. We don't war against the physical body of the person. But it's the indwelling of the Spirit that is motivating them. It's that Spirit. This is why the Bible tells us that in Hebrews that the Word of God is quick, is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and that word is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. So that word of God, when we stand on that word, you'll see the reaction. When you start speaking the word, you'll cause demonic spirits to manifest in people. People get defensive. People get angry. But it's not that person. It's that spirit that's in there. But when you start speaking that word will set a wedge in between that demonic spirit and the spirit of that man. Let me give you an example. Jesus is known as the Word of God. And when Jesus stepped on the shore of Gennesaret with a demonic man that had a legion of demons, that man ran to Jesus at the seashore where he was. Now, you think those demons came there on their own, knowing that they're about to be cast out? No. The spirit of the man was there. Well, how, Pastor Upton, why you say that? Because after them demons were gone, they found that man clothed, sitting, and in his right mind, wanting to follow Jesus. He wanted to be a disciple of Christ after that spirit had been separated from him. So we have a task. We have a job to do. We are the spiritual authority here in this earth, and God has given us the ability, the right, and the might to deliver the bound and to let the oppressed go free. See, I would say this is the year of resurrection for the body of Christ. You know, we're looking for the rapture. We believe in the second coming. We're looking for all these things that's going to take. And we know it's near, even at the door. But what we have to understand is that before Christ comes for us physically, I believe that there's going to be a rise of the Spirit of God physically within us, that the spiritual rise of the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus said, I'm coming back for a glorious church, a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, or any such thing. So the only glory that we can ever have is the glory that comes from the sun, S-O-N. See, just like the moon gets its light from the S-U-N, we get our glory from the S-O-N. And God said he's going to give his glory unto us. St. John chapter 17, he said, the glory you've given me, I have given them. So we got to understand that there's something that God is going to be imparting into our spirit in these last days that gives us the ability to separate the demonic spirits from the souls that are lost. And when you speak the truth in love, that word of God will penetrate to such a way that it will cause individuals to take notice and maybe come to you on your job and say, listen, I need prayer, or asking you, what must I do to be saved? I don't care what that current position is. They know that the situation that they're in is failing them. There's a difference between having a relationship with Jesus and having a relationship with him. A relationship, a lot of people say, yeah, well, you know, I know the man upstairs, God is good, you know, this, that, and the other. But when you have a relationship, when you understand that you're serving God, the second person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and that you have Christ dwelling on the inside of you, and that the very person of the Holy Spirit is dwelling on the inside of you, it gives you a revelation of not only who he is, but who you are in him. And once you start getting this revelation and you understand that the word of God is true and is for you, and when he said that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, you know, I hear so many people talking about when they pray, girl, you know, you got to be careful because, you know, the devil's busy and there's going to be some reprisal. Now, I said, Satan, get behind me. What do you mean reprisal? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God has given me the authority, he said, in his name. That means he's given me the power of authority. In Mark chapter 16, he said, in my name you shall cast out demons. So I already know that I have the right and the might. I know that the Holy Spirit is there. I'm not worried about what the devil is doing or how busy the devil going to be. The devil knows he got but a short time. But listen, we are the children of the Most High God. God has given you and I over in chapter Matthew, chapter 16 and chapter 18, he's given us the keys to the kingdom of God. And he told us whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever. And they see, whatsoever covers a lot of things. And see, what we're binding and loosening is the things that Jesus has already bound and loosed in heaven. So we have a right to come into agreement with heaven here on earth. When you and I pray, we touch heaven and we change earth in the behalf of the men and women who say, please pray for me. See, God's love for us is never questioned. God loves us with an unfailing, an undying love. He loves us so much. He thought we were to die for it, so he did. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. But how often is our love for God on trial? When we're challenged, when we're afraid to open our mouths to declare the righteousness of God in a situation because of somebody's personages or because, you know, well, we don't want to get into a conflict. No, there's a soul that is hanging in the balance, and these people are demonically bound. But God said, listen, he's given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You are the church. It's not the building. You are the body of Christ. And once we start really taking ownership of the power, the presence of God that is in us, once we start coming into a neural handshake, or getting our mind in touch with the mind of Christ, then we can start walking and seeing through the eyes of Christ. We can start hearing with the ears of Christ. And when we speak, we'll speak with the voice of Christ, because we'll speak with power and authority based on what Christ has already said. See, you and I, we're vessels. That's all we are. We're instruments. We're conduits where Christ can flow through us. If Christ in you is the hope of glory, then you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you're moving out a heart of compassion and love when you speak, then God has already authorized you and given you authority. But listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you don't have a relationship with God, don't get to playing with people that are demon-possessed. If you don't already have a relationship with God, don't even mess with it. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? They saw a man that was demonically possessed. They saw Paul casting the demon out of a man. And so they wanted to try what Paul was doing. And so they came up to a man that was demon possessed. And we said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, of whom Paul preaches, come out. And the demon spoke back to him and said, Jesus, we know. And Paul, we know. But who are you? And the demon came out and whooped them butt naked, bruised, and had them running down the street, hollering and screaming, and the whole city saw it. Why? Because they did not have a relationship with Christ. And that relationship came through Paul having that Damascus road or Damascus experience that caused him to have a revelation of who Christ was. He said, well, the message I didn't receive it through men, but by through revelation. You see, that's what I mean when I say we have a relationship. When you have that personal relationship with Christ, you know who you are in him. There is no fear in him. Perfect love casts out all fear. And when you have that revelation of who Christ is inside of you, you start hearing the Spirit more plainly speaking to you. You start seeing the need of people. You know when to pray, when to bind, when to loose. You know the spiritual witchcraft when it's in operation. You'll cast that spirit out. You'll pray against that spirit. Yeah, the demon uses people just like God will use people. But the demonic spirits can be separated and can leave that individual, because God's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Too often we focus on the individual and not on the entity. I'll give you an example. After Jesus had just got through telling Peter, when they asked the question, he said, "Who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus told Peter, he said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, we can imagine how Peter felt at that moment. Like, man, I'm walking on cloud nine. I done heard from God. God done revealed something to me. None of y'all else, nobody else answered that, but I answered that. God revealed that to me, and Jesus began to tell him about the suffering and the crucifixion and the things that he was going to. And the Bible said Peter began to rebuke Jesus, too full of himself. But Jesus turned around and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said, "Get thee behind me, Peter." He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Why? Because he understood the frequency of the voice, that it wasn't of God. And so you can hear the individuals that are speaking. You can understand that frequency. You understand that they're speaking, that what they're speaking is not of God. So God is automatically giving you authority over that spirit. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when you speak, you release the dunamis, the power of God. It ain't about how loud you get. It's understanding that you're speaking the language of the kings. God has made us kings and priests unto him. And we speak the language of the kingdom, and the kingdom language carries authority. So it's not just like common conversation when we had it. When the Spirit unctions you, and you know that this thing is you're speaking to, and you know that you're speaking through a spiritual warfare and you're taking spiritual authority, when you speak, there is a sound, there is a frequency in your voice that would challenge and that would drive out that demonic spirit if you speak with certainty and authority, not wavering, not doubting, not fearful. But understand that your whole challenge is to deliver the bound and to let the oppressed go free. When Jesus authorized the disciples over Mark chapter 16, he said Jesus had authorized them and had given them power, the power of attorney to use his name over every spiritual and demonic force. He also gave them the ability to change things in the earth. This is why he told them, he said, Jesus said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, why did he say preach the gospel? What did Galatians say? Galatians say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," talking about the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation unto all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So the gospel released out of your mouth is the power of God. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, we even get caught up on this portion. A lot of people believe and equate their salvation with their baptism. "Well, I got baptized in Jesus' name. That's why I'm saved." No, you believed and then you were baptized. Your belief is what saves you. The baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection. If all you had to do was get baptized to be saved, Jesus wouldn't have died. Now, should you be baptized? Of course, that's an ordinance. But baptism comes after the revelation, after you receive who Christ is. Then you become baptized to identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. This is why I say, "He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not is damned." He didn't say, "He that believeth not and is not baptized." He said, "But he that believeth not is damned." So we got to get people into a saving faith knowledge of who Christ is. That's what brings the deliverance. And he said they're going to be able to cast out devils. He said these signs are going to follow them that believe in my name. Of course, when he says in my name, we know that he has given them the power of attorney. And if I give you the power of attorney, put it like this, if I got $20 million, and I give you the power of attorney to exercise business in my name, any place you go, anything that you want to do, if you do it in my name, it's going to be backed up because I've given you the letter, the the power of attorney. You can write a check. You can buy a house. You can do whatever you need to do in my name because I've given you that authority. And so now Jesus has given us the authority in his name. And to be able to use all the power. Now, how much power did Jesus have? When he rose in Matthew chapter 28, he said, first go into all the world. He said, when he rose from the grave, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Then he said, go ye into all the world and you teach all nations. Teach what? Teach that Jesus rose victoriously over the world, the flesh, and the devil, that he took the keys to hell and death, and that he's seated at the right hand of God, and that all power in heaven and earth is given unto him, and whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and has been authorized to use that power. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations. You don't have to be poor and bedridden, poor in spirit. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be suicidal. God said, I've given you an everlasting hope. God said, listen, I've given you a great constellation of salvation. All you got to do is believe. This is a message of hope that we have. This is a message of reconciliation. And we have to be able to impart this message. It's not psychological. It's not trying to analyze somebody. It's not always just, well, you know, it's praying for them. It's speaking to them. It's imparting the message of hope unto them. Because, see, that word is what drives away every satanic and demonic force. But there's so many voices out there in the world today. People are hearing the voice of the world. They're hearing what they say. And it made they a god instead of making the word of God true. Well, you know, they say there's going to be more diseases out there. Well, you know, they say we're ready to go to war. Well, you know, they say we're going to have so many name storms this year. Well, you know, they say that the economy is going to crash. So we have to realize that they are not more powerful than God. It ain't about what they say. It's about what God has said. So I'm going to end with this because we know we got a short time. And the Bible says, let God be true, but let every man be a liar. Yes, God is looking for the unity, that we would speak the same thing, that we all would be in one accord, and that we wouldn't be speaking double-mindedness. It's not about what they say. It's about what God has said. I know our doctors tell us a lot of things. I know the news tell us a lot of things. But if you want to be delivered from the power of darkness, you got to declare in the face of the facts, you got to speak the truth of what God has said. God said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. If you want to change your condition, start speaking what God said over and against what the world is telling you or what your body might even be telling you. Speak healing unto your own self. Speak prosperity unto your own self. Speak encouragement unto your own self. If you've got a condition, speak to your body. Whether it's your hearing, whether it's your eyesight, whether it's your mind, listen, Candy said, pray for my memory. Candy get up every morning and say, I have the mind of Christ. I have perfect thought. If you can remember to say that every morning, say it. Continue to say it. Say what God says about you. You have clarity of thought. I have an unction from the Holy One. I know all things. And just speak to your body to get your body to function. You know how many things I've been going through? You know, a prostate enlargement and, you know, this thing that getting, you know, 70 years old bring about a few changes in your life. But you know something? I'm still in great health. I'm still in perfect health. God is still blessing me right now. I'm at work. I mean, darling, to tell you, I've been going through these last couple of weeks. But you know what my confession is every time I go to work? People ask me what I'm doing. How you doing? I say, man, I'm getting better every minute. I'm telling other people to say that because that's what I say. That's what I say about myself. When I tell other people, say that about you. Don't say, girl, you know, I'm barely making it. I don't know. No. Speak over your circumstance. Speak in spite of your circumstance. Don't speak what you feel. Speak what you want. Change things with the word of your mouth. That's where the unity of the spirit comes in. It's not about us just coming together, let's touch and agree. Now, what do you agree with? What is your mind telling you? And if your mind is telling you, girl, I don't know if you're going to get better or not, you need to rebuke that mind. And you need to let that mind of Christ be in you and get rid of that mind of the world. Listen, you may be going through some things, and no doubt we all are, and we all have been, and we all will be. But how do we change the things? See, anybody can tell a sick man he's sick. I'm telling you how to be well. I'm telling you how to have long life and good days. My 70th birthday, I gave myself a 35-year break. I'm 35 now. I feel good. Darlene, you better watch out. But I'm saying I'm feeling good. I'm getting up every day. I mean, there's times that I have aches and pains, but what do? I continue to speak. I continue to press on through the pain because guess what? After a while, it subsides. I don't even know it's there anymore. There's no chronic thing going on with me. The only thing I got chronic going on with me is chronic healing, chronic deliverance. And so I know God provides for us. And I thank God for these 45 years me and my wife been together. And these kids that he's allowed us to raise and the family we allowed us to have. And we've been through some good times and bad times. But you know something? God is faithful. So I'll say, I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. That's what's real, y'all. I've had some weary days. Some sleepless nights. But when I look around and when I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. Hey, I won't complain. And y'all know where we've been. Y'all know we've been burnt down to the ground, lost everything, but God repaired it, put it back together again. But guess what? You know, God is faithful. He provides for us. And we keep the faith in him. And it's not about how many things we accumulate in life. It's about how faithful we are to Christ. And that's all God has for you. Be faithful in your situation while you're going through. That's when your testimony and your praise becomes more valuable. Anybody can praise God, but it ain't done happening. Now, either we can continue to complain about a situation, because that's the root word to remain. That's why the children of Israel stayed in the wilderness 40 years instead of 11 days, because they complained about this situation. Or we can be like Joshua and Caleb said, we'll wear a label. Let us go in and go up at once. God has given us this land. So let's speak the word of God over our situation. Let's bring the true unity that God is looking for us to come into agreement with his word in every situation. That's all I got for today.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Put your hands together tonight.